I'm Heather Vail, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm speaking with Kelvin Watson, Executive Director of the Las Vegas Clark County Library District. Right now, the Library District's holding its free Summer Challenge program with lots of prizes for kids and adults. Kelvin, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me, Heather.
So what exactly is the Las Vegas Clark County Library District?
So the Las Vegas Clark County Library District is a public library. We are 25 physical branches strong with additional outlets in the community, such as our book lending machine at the Boulevard Mall and other ways that we have been connecting with the community. We cover 8,000 square miles. So our northernmost library is in Mesquite, Nevada, and the southernmost is in Laughlin. So we cover lots of area. We have urban, what we consider urban libraries, which are more in the Las Vegas, more or less area. And then, of course, Laughlin would be considered like more of the rural, like Laughlin, Searchlight, Sandy Valley. We have libraries there as well. So we provide more than books. We provide resources and information, you know, to the community. And that comes in the form of books and databases, but we also do numerous programs and theatrical performances that we partner with the community on, or you can actually rent our theater space, or you can rent our meeting room space to do that. Yeah, so the library is anything you want the library to be, I guess is what I would say to you.
I mean, that's pretty awesome. So 8,000 square miles from Mesquite to Laughlin. What about in the Las Vegas Valley itself? Do you have libraries throughout the valley, or is it only where there's not the city? So like not Henderson, not North Las Vegas,
etc. So we cover everything with the exception of North Las Vegas. They have their own public library. Henderson has their own library. I actually happen to live in Henderson, believe it or not. About 5 minutes.
So do I.
Green Valley, yeah, from their Green Valley library. And then Boulder City has their own library. And that's why we're called the Las Vegas Clark County Library District, because we cover lots of places in Las Vegas, West Las Vegas, Centennial Hills, East Las Vegas, Enterprise. You know, we have some libraries in Summerlin. And then we also, as I mentioned, some of those rural ones are, you know, Sandy Valley, Searchlight, Laughlin, Indian Springs, Blue Diamond, Good Springs. So we cover a swath of area, and I just mentioned just a few of those libraries. My library, where my office is actually located, is at the Windmill Library. So I'm in Windmill and Rainbow, as a matter of fact. So we cover both. So in the Las Vegas, what you would call the Valley, we have about 14 libraries. And then we have about 11 rural libraries.
Nice. Okay. So those of us who do live in Henderson, or let's say North Las Vegas or Boulder City, where there's other library districts, obviously I can have a library card for the Henderson libraries, but can I also have a library card for the Las Vegas Clark County Library District?
So what we have outside of you getting another library card is we have reciprocal borrowing.
Oh.
So if you are, you know, in Henderson or North Las Vegas and or Boulder City, we do offer services to you as well. And you can also borrow resources also.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yes.
So how long has the Las Vegas Clark County Library District been around?
The library first opened in 1967.
Wow. Okay. And then somewhere along the way, the Las Vegas Library District and the Clark County Library District combined?
Yes. So the city and the county decided to work together.
Okay.
And create the joint library district. Yes.
Cool.
And then they, of course, have the separate libraries, again, the North Las Vegas, Henderson, and Boulder City, even though they are in the county. They are not, again, part of our actual system, right? They don't report to me.
Okay, but we can still borrow stuff reciprocally between the
yes,
different districts.
That is correct.
Okay, cool. So tell us about the Summer Challenge.
So the Summer Challenge is, you might remember summer reading, right? The summer reading, they're called summer challenges now. That's a difference. But basically the program is our district's free challenge for kids, teens, and adults, basically to encourage them to read during the summer, especially kids in the summer slide, right? So they can keep learning during the summer. So they don't lose what they those academic gains during the summer.
Yeah.
And so the summer challenge is a way to keep them sharp. And we offer it online for tracking, right? Tracking their reading and activities. And then we have a special paper log with games and other activities. And they, you know, by keeping track of the reading and activities, we offer incentives, the opportunity to win great prizes like Amazon gift cards, library district swag, a Kodak digital camera, and you know, even some of that Vegas Golden Knights stuff, which is going to be, you know, interesting with the standard, right? So that came right in handy. And this summer, we've added two partners, the NBA Summer League and the Neon Museum, actually. So they're new to offering, you know, gift prize opportunities to those readers.
Okay. And then how long does the challenge run?
So the challenge actually runs through the end of July. So we started May 15th and we run through the end of July.
Okay. How many books does someone have to read in order to possibly win a prize?
You just read as much and then you enter.
So you read as much as you can or as much as you want, and then you log it either on the paper log or online, and then you submit that list, and then you can win a prize.
That is correct. That is correct. You have an opportunity to win some prizes. Yes. And you can also listen to audiobooks as well.
Oh.
So you just have to read, right? So it includes listening as well as the magazines as well with our program.
Awesome. So I see there's some grand prizes and then there's Super Reader Challenge grand prizes. What exactly is the Super Reader Challenge?
So the Super Reading Challenge, that's that part of our Beanstack program.
Okay.
And so you go online, you register, and then since we're not really concerned about like a minimum number, so if everybody else reads 20 and you read 50, you're one of those super readers. That's how that works.
Okay, so it's kind of like graded on a curve.
It's graded on a curve. I like that. I like that. Yes. In Beanstack. So Beanstack is our online app that you can use to track. And you, when you complete all three levels on Beanstack, you're automatically entered for a chance to win the prize. So that's the super reading opportunity to win those prizes.
Okay. So for the regular summer challenge, you can either log your books on paper or you can do it online. But if you do it online through Beanstack, then you get more prize opportunities.
Win more prize opportunities. That's correct.
Okay. So I would encourage everyone to do it digitally. Just saying.
Yes, I would encourage everybody to do it digitally as well. And we also work with the Clark County School District. The Beanstack is in partnership with them as well.
Awesome. Okay, so you mentioned the website is thelibrarydistrict.org. So that's where people can go to learn more, obviously. Do they need to sign up or register or anything?
So when you go to our website, thelibrarydistrict.org, you can either go there, and when you're there, there's a link for you to click more info. Or if you want to go directly there, you can do the librarydistrict.org/summer challenge, where you can sign up. You can find out what type of events we're doing over the summer as well. Lots of fun types of events around the reading and the summer challenge. But you can also look and see what we're doing with classes and workshops as well.
Okay. And what about when it's not summer? What else happens at the library that people should know about that they can take part in?
Wow. When it's not summer, you can take advantage of lots of things at the library. And I'll give you here's an example. We have computer labs. We have in our East Vegas library, for example, we have a podcasting room. We provide DJ classes. Right.
Wow.
We got lots of STEM equipment. We have all kinds of education and workforce opportunities. We offer live concerts. I don't know if you know that as well. We're offering a program next week as part of our partnership supporting 50 years of hip hop. We're going to have the rapper Curtis Blow at the West Las Vegas Library. So if you go to our website, thelibrarydistrict.org, you'll be able to browse whatever content you want to, you know, that you're looking for by format, by audience. You can, you know, discover information regarding, you know, for veterans, for example. Then we also have our programs, right? So you can actually search for programs. And, you know, the programs being, again, some of those things I just talked about, like the concerts and other things. We also have virtual events and story times as well. So, yeah, the library district is all about putting resources, like I said, directly in your hands, or you can just come to the library and explore all those things that I just mentioned. I didn't mention art galleries as well. So if you're into art, you've got art galleries and exhibits that are taking place across the district as well. And you can learn more about upcoming events and different type of receptions that we're having. I can go on and on. I mean, it's like,
yeah, sounds like
never, it is never ending at the library. I mean, I was actually touring someone around our library here in Windmill, and they were picking up all kinds of information, not just for themselves, but for people that they know, you know, as well, for them to participate in some of the things that the library district is offering.
Wow, that's great. So some of the stuff is free, and I'm assuming some of it will have a fee, like the classes and so forth.
I would say that 99% of what the library offers is free.
Wow.
So that includes the classes, et cetera. Sometimes we may have a partner or someone who is renting our space and offering a program, and they may have a nominal fee. But for anything that the library is a part of, there's no cost, including, you know, you can come to the library and you can learn how to operate a 3D printer, for example, and you can actually print your things for free. You can learn a new language for free. You can go to all these different concerts for free.
That's awesome.
So yeah, I would say 99.9% of everything is free, except for, again, things that are not, you know, library sponsored, right? So anything that we sponsor is free.
That's fantastic. Okay. So once again, if you want to find out about all the various free events, free concerts, free classes, all kinds of cool stuff going on, thelibrarydistrict.org is the website to go to, thelibrarydistrict.org. And if you're interested in the summer challenge and reading and getting a chance to win some of those amazing prizes, it's thelibrarydistrict.org/summer challenge. And there are challenges for kids and teens, as well as for adults 18 plus. So you don't have to just have your kids take part. Go ahead and read along with them. All of that's at thelibrarydistrict.org/summer challenge, including a list of a bunch of the prizes, which are pretty awesome. So, Calvin, I want to thank you so much for being here and letting everyone know what's going on at the Las Vegas Clark County Library District. I didn't know most of what you just said, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners also didn't know. And it sounds like a fantastic resource for our community and the residents that live here. So I'm really glad you're here sharing it with us. And I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Heather.
When students struggle in school because they are hungry,
or fall behind because they lack school supplies or clean clothing,
being greeted at the start of every school day by the smile of a caring adult can make all the difference.
Especially someone from the community.
Someone who knows firsthand the obstacles students might be facing.
And what it will take to help them thrive.
At Communities in Schools, our site coordinators surround students with a community of support and remain by their side
to ensure that they have everything they need to engage in learning
and succeed in school and in life.
Access to technology, learning materials,
and even one-to-one mentor support.
We are there for them all day, every day. This is what Communities in Schools is all about.
Going all in for kids, in schools, in communities, and beyond.
To learn more, visit communitiesinschools.org. That's communitiesinschools.org.
I'm Heather Vail, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Jennifer Tombaugh, president of Tauk, the travel adventure company. According to a survey conducted by the Family Travel Association, 85% of parents are very likely to travel with their children in the next 12 months. But how do you get the best value out of your family vacations? Jennifer, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me, Heather. I'm glad to be here.
So for those who aren't familiar, what is Tauk?
Tauk is a third-generation family-run business about to celebrate our 100th anniversary, and we offer guided experiences all over the world in all seven continents, 70 countries, and 20 years ago, we launched Tauk Bridges, which is our family travel line.
Nice. Okay. So what are the travel trends for this year?
Well, multi-generational travel is certainly growing, and the reason largely stems from our desire to stay connected with one another. Families now are scattered all over the state. They're in multiple cities, sometimes all over the country. And even when we have our family together, I know I find as a mom, it's really hard to have everyone come to the dinner table at the same time. And so in that overscheduled life, we're longing for that opportunity to be together, which was only accentuated by what happened during the pandemic. And it's no surprise coming out of the pandemic that people really wanted to go visit their families and have an opportunity to travel together. And as kids grow up and in the digital age with their knowledge and understanding of the world, there's parents and grandparents want to fulfill their kids' dreams and their bucket lists of being global travelers.
Nice. Okay. So the conditions you mentioned about generations of families being spread out from state to state, from city to city, hasn't necessarily changed. But you think the real reason why multi-generational family vacations are so trendy right now is because of the pandemic that kept us apart for so long?
I think that certainly accelerated the growth indeed. Certainly when we started Tauk Bridges 20 years ago, all of these conditions, you're right, existed. And we tapped into that desire that families had for time together. But I think these last 3 years especially has brought into sharper focus our desire and longing to be with one another. And we've certainly seen that in a dramatic growth in family travel.
Okay, awesome. So how can families get the best value when they're planning a trip?
Sure. It's can be overwhelming at times. And I think the benefit of working with a tour operator like Tauk Bridges is that it allows the opportunity to provide savings in both time and money. You know, a lot of family travelers, Heather, think about the upfront cost. They think about the airfare or maybe the hotel or maybe the rental car. But they're not always thinking about all the other ancillary costs that are going to come on the way, the airport transfers, maybe foreign exchange, maybe gratuities, food. The things that have you constantly reaching into your pocket. And the beauty of working with a tour operator is virtually all those costs are bundled up front. So it's a one-time price. You know what you're paying for, and you don't have to be reaching for your wallet. The other benefit, frankly, though, is the opportunity cost of it going wrong. It's very rare, right, that we can have our whole families traveling together. And for the planner especially, it's a high wire act. You want to make sure that everyone's happy. You want to make sure that the experiences are great. And so you're never quite present because you're always thinking about how to satisfy everyone. And you don't want it to be a disappointment to anyone. And so by, again, taking that responsibility and handing it over to a travel expert like a tour operator allows everyone to step back, enjoy, and simply be present with their family. What a great gift.
Yeah, awesome. So what are some of the activities and experiences that are really popular with families right now?
Sure. When we are designing programs, we're always thinking about how can we satisfy these many generations and needs and desires through different cultural activities and wildlife experiences that really allow everybody to have fun and immerse themselves into a destination. Some of the experiences our guests absolutely love are the opportunity to learn how to waltz at the Palais Pallavicini in central Vienna, where Mozart once performed, or flight seeing over Lake Powell and rafting down the Colorado River on our Red Rocks and Painted Canyons program, or perhaps spotting that blue-footed booby, or snorkeling with the seals in the Galapagos. But whether it's a safari or being in behind the scenes at the Sistine Chapel or riding up in the London Eye and overlooking all of the tapestry of Europe, there are experiences that are curated to really make sure that they appeal to everyone and that people walk away, the families walk away with memories that last a lifetime.
Yeah, some of those experiences sound fantastic, but I'm imagining that some people are thinking, well, okay, you know, that's my bucket list. That's for a few years down the road. I got to save up for that. So what if someone just wants to take a road trip, grab the family, and experience the country that we live in here?
Yes, well, there's no place more beautiful than our national parks. And certainly there's very popular ones that you see a lot in the headlines of having many, many visitors, such as Yellowstone and the Grand Canyon. And certainly we provide those behind the scenes experiences. But whether it's traveling to Acadia National Park or being out in Yosemite, there's hundreds of parks for the American traveler to explore just in their backyard. And we just encourage everyone to get out there and take advantage of it. And I will say it's one of those things, though, I think that the pandemic's taught us that people aren't willing to put off their trips any longer because they know that their time together is fleeting and you don't want to miss that window of opportunity, especially when you have your family all together.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so where can listeners go if they want to learn more about curated adventures or just family travel in general?
Sure. You can visit us at talc.com/family travel, and there's a wealth of information there that can guide anyone looking to plan their family vacation.
Okay, awesome. So once again, the website is talc.com/family travel. That's spelled TAUCK.com, talc.com/family travel. And you can find information there. You can get some ideas. You can see what the offerings are, or just grab the family, get on the road and experience some fun this summer. Jennifer, I want to thank you so much for being here and sharing with us what the trends are, what people are thinking, how they're having fantastic experiences together, and some tips on what people can do if they want to do the same thing. So I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, Heather, and happy summer.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
I felt nervous that I wouldn't have a family.
I was getting older and older. I didn't think I was going to get adopted.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi, Connor, and LaShawna now have a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
When I was adopted, it was like, wow, I get to settle and this is permanent.
After I was adopted, I felt happy.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
Every child deserves a safe, loving, and permanent home. Help the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption find forever families for children who have been lingering in foster care the longest. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
This is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Bonnie Taub Dix, registered dietitian and award-winning author of Read It Before You Eat It, taking you from label to table. Americans like snacks, but aren't always sure about their nutritional value, and a new study found people have a lot of trouble reading nutrition labels. Bonnie, thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me.
So obviously, a lot of us need snacks to get through the day and prevent us from getting hangry. But how do we make sure the snacks are healthy?
Well, we love snacks so much that actually some of us are replacing as many as 4 meals per week with snacks. So it's important to choose them wisely. And I kind of call snacks mini meals because you want them to be fun and indulgent, but it's also so important that they have nutritional value so that you could feel full and satisfied while also meeting your nutritional needs.
Okay, so what does healthy mean and how do we know that what we're putting in our mouth actually is healthy?
Healthy is a really good question because we all might interpret that differently.
Yeah.
So, you know, what's so sad about food shopping these days is that so many of us pay more attention to what we're putting on our bodies, meaning clothes and shoes, than what we're putting in our bodies, meaning foods and beverages. And I know that food shopping could be overwhelming. That's why I wrote an entire book on the topic, because I wanted to help people make quick, healthy decisions by using the power of the food label to guide them. So when you're looking for something that is healthy, kind of in quotes, then what are you looking for? Are you looking for protein to help keep you feeling more full? Are you looking for calcium to help strengthen your bones? Are you looking for a short ingredient list? The label has so much information on there that you want to pick out the parts that really speak to you personally.
Okay. And I'm an avid label reader myself, but I admit that sometimes it is confusing. So what are the things we should look for on the label that definitely say, okay, no, this is not healthy?
You know, I think, again, that might depend on you. If you want to watch your weight, for example, then you may want to pay attention to calories, but it's not just calories that you're looking for, because you need to look at the ingredient list to see what the quality of the calories are. You know, I'll give you a perfect example. When I'm looking at a food for a healthy snack, for example, then I look for a combination of that trifecta: protein, carbohydrate, and healthy fat. Because I know that's going to make me feel the most satisfied. And I know that will help me keep my blood sugar level stable. And not every food provides that combo. Sometimes you actually have to combine foods together. For example, I love Wisps, which are a crunchy baked cheese snack, because they help me feel full because they are a great source of protein. They also happen to be an excellent source of calcium, which as a woman and even for children, you want to look for calcium sources on the label. But they also pair perfectly with so many other foods that we are not getting enough of, like fresh fruits, fresh veggies, dried fruit, nuts. And they also work well with other foods that we like as snacks, like bean dips or hummus or guacamole. So I really like having a combination of foods that I like. So you have variety there in what you're getting, but you also get great bang for your buck, nutritionally speaking.
Yeah. Okay. Now let's go back to the fat just for a second, because I feel like fat gets a bad rap and a lot of people try to avoid fat at all costs, but you did mention healthy fat. So let's just clarify, what makes a healthy fat versus a non-healthy fat?
A healthy fat is one that is high in what's called monounsaturated fats and not high in saturated fat. But, you know, it's interesting you asked the question about fat, because for a while, fat was shunned. We were really a fat-phobic nation. And then fat came back on the menu with a lot of popular diets that are out now. But it's not so much the quantity of fat. It's really the quality of fat. So it's also, what's interesting about fat is that it does help us keep satisfied. So those two nutrients, protein and fat, they keep us the most satisfied the longest.
Perfect. Okay. Now you mentioned the crackers, but what are some of your other go-to summer snacks that people can take when they're going to camp, going on a picnic, going to summer school, maybe, or those of us that still have to keep working through the summer?
Mm-hmm. So in the summertime, especially, I like snacks that are portable, as you're mentioning, easy to carry with you on the go for picnics, for barbecues. And in the summer, I also like snacks that don't require refrigeration, especially because of food safety in the warm temperatures. So I choose snacks that are refreshing, fresh fruits, fresh veggies, because, you know, we have to stay hydrated in summer also. That's really important. And staying hydrated doesn't only mean drinking. It also might mean eating fruits and veggies that are very watery foods. Those are really helpful in summer.
Nice. Okay. So where can listeners go if they want to learn more about healthy snacks, or even if they want to buy your book, which I love the title. It's got two plays on words. That's right up my alley. Read It Before You Eat It, Taking You From Label to Table.
I wish I could take credit for the title, but my son, actually, my 9-year-old, came up with the title.
Wow.
You can find us on Instagram at Wisp Snacks, or you can visit me at Bonnie Tab Dix. And my book is available on Amazon, and I'm happy to answer any questions you have. Website is betterthandieting.com.
Okay. So on social media, Bonnie Tab Dix is BonnieTabDix if you want to follow Bonnie on social media, and also Wisp Snacks on social media. And her website, betterthandieting.com, if you want to find out more tips, betterthandieting.com. And again, the book with a very creative title that was come up by a future copywriter, her 9-year-old son, Read It Before You Eat It, Taking You From Label to Table. And Bonnie, I want to thank you so much for being here and sharing some snack ideas, letting us know about healthy eating for the summer. I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me.
You have some dough. It's lunchtime, but there's no way you would eat just dough for lunch, right? Well, the good thing is, I have some cheese. Your friend has some tomato sauce. This random guy on the street has pepperoni in his backpack. If we bring all these ingredients together, we end up with something much better than any of them alone. A savory pizza for lunch. But each of us has not only different ingredients, but also different opinions coming from our different life experiences. If we bring all these experiences and all these opinions together in friendly, civil conversation, we end up with opinions and ideas that are better than any of our individual opinions before. So if we want to come up with better ideas for a better world, what we really need are civil, civic conversations. Pizzas. It's an American thing. AmericanThing.org.
I'm Heather Vale, and you're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me today is Dr. Mitchell Kleonski, co-author of the new book, Dementia Prevention, Using Your Head to Save Your Brain. Dementia and memory problems are a growing worry as Americans are living longer, but not necessarily smarter. Dr. Mitchell Kleonski and Dr. Emily Kleonski have developed an accurate dementia test for doctors, personally treated more than 10,000 patients, and also cared for loved ones with dementia. Dr. Kleonski, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure. Good morning.
So what exactly is your and Emily's experience dealing with dementia?
Well, it's actually quite extensive, both by purpose and accident. By purpose, professionally, both of us have been really involved in the evaluation and treatment of people with cognitive problems, memory, attention paying difficulties, problem solving, those kinds of things that are oftentimes caused by progressive neurological causes like dementia and mild cognitive impairment, which is sort of a precursor, an early warning signal that someone is at risk for having greater decline. So we have been testing people and treating people for a combined 60 years at this point. I mean,
wow.
We've been around a long time. If there was video to this, you could certainly tell people that, yep, he's been around a long time. From a personal point of view, my mother developed dementia in her mid-70s, and the last 9 years of her life were spent with her becoming less and less who she had been as this vibrant, wonderful person throughout all the time that I knew her before then. So I was in the unusual situation of being both the doctor for so many of my patients and the caregiver for my mom. I tell you, it's far better being on the doctor's side of the table than the child's side of the table.
Yeah, absolutely. Did that professional experience help you see red flags that other people might have missed and be able to help your mother sooner?
You know, in a lot of ways, I'm very much like everybody else. When I put on my professional hat, I'm really good at being able to see what's going on with people. From a personal point of view, I'm just as willing as anyone else to say, you know, I think that was a senior moment. She's under a lot of stress. Things are going on right now. It's an unusual situation. All the same things that my patients' families say to me early on and that the patients tell me when they say, well, you know, I remember everything that's important. It's really not a big deal. Back then, I was not in a position to really do any formal testing with her because she was my mom. I eventually did get her in to see someone, and we were able to confirm the diagnosis and begin to treat her with the medications which we had out at that time. And we've had these out since the mid-1990s, and we still have them today. And I do believe that it slowed down the progression of her decline to a great degree. What I didn't know back then, however, which we know now, were a lot of the pre-existing medical and behavioral conditions that are part of the book that we wrote, that are why you can, in 50% of the cases, reduce or eliminate your likelihood of developing dementia. one out of two cases of dementia are preventable. It's an astounding number. We would pay a fortune if this was a cure.
Yeah, that is an astounding number. So what is the secret? How can we cut our risk in half?
Well, as I tell people, dementia prevention is a thing, but it's not one thing. That's why it took us a whole book to be able to lay out a model of each of the various aspects that you have some control over. Obviously, you don't have any control over what happened. You don't have control over your genes. You don't have control over early life experiences, that, you know, concussion you had when you fell off the roof at age 6 while you were playing with your friend. Those kinds of things are in the past. But you do have control over diet, exercise, weight control, controlling diabetes, hypertension, avoiding smoking, avoiding excessive alcohol, avoiding chronic marijuana use. There's a lot of benefit to people being socially engaged and to get more education, to continue to be a lifelong learner and to be involved in interactive and very stimulating activities. Now, retirement is not such a wonderful thing for many people, despite what Macron opposition is saying in France. Working longer is actually pretty good for your brain, especially if it's something that you enjoy. The one thing that probably most people overlook is the role that oxygen plays. So we have a lot of people out there who have a condition called obstructive sleep apnea, where they don't recognize it, but they stop breathing multiple times every night while they're asleep. Consequently, while their partner says, well, geez, you were snoring so bad, I had to leave the bedroom, or they're falling asleep while they're watching, you know, the football game or the basketball game in the evenings, even though they want to stay awake, they don't recognize that those are symptoms of not getting enough air down their lungs. And if you don't get enough air down your lungs, not enough oxygen gets attached to the red blood cells, makes its way up to your brain. And so your brain doesn't work well. So people who have untreated sleep apnea are at much higher risk for developing dementia than those who are getting enough oxygen. And if we could identify this early on, get people appropriate treatment, which for most people is a device called a CPAP machine, their brains perk up. They begin to have more energy. They begin to think better. They also oftentimes have better relationships in the bedroom, not only because their spouse is still there, but you know that 50% of men who go for those little blue pills at the ED clinic have sleep apnea. If you don't get enough oxygen out to all the parts of your body at the extremities, a lot of you does not perform as well as it should. So we're big proponents of getting people evaluated. It's a painless test done in one night and then treated for this, because suddenly a lot of the other interventions that we propose get a lot better. We do a whole chapter on sleep and breathing in the book, because it's just that important and that overlooked.
Now, that CPAP machine you're talking about, that's the thing that's like, looks like a gas mask. I mean, it's pretty cumbersome, right? So I can imagine that a lot of people wouldn't want to go to that extreme just because, oh, well, you know, we like to minimize stuff. So, oh, well, I have a little bit of sleep apnea. Oh, well, I snore now and then. How do we know when it's time to actually start using that machine because it's serious enough?
Whenever you stop breathing or your oxygen level drops on average 5 times or more per hour, it's as if your partner in bed put a pillow over your face for 10 seconds, 5 times or more every hour. That's pretty serious stuff. None of us would want that. I'll tell you a secret. Maybe it's not such a big secret at this point, but I've been using a CPAP machine for the last 17 years. And when I talk with people about using it, the biggest things are it makes them feel like they're going to be sick or frail. And the other thing is they think they're not going to be sexy. Well, I always tell them, you know, the sexy part is you don't put it on until you're ready to go to sleep. If that's when you're having sex, after you go to sleep, you're missing the best part.
Yeah, good point.
It's really not such a big thing once you get the proper motivation. And then when you start using it, for many people, it's like the lights go on upstairs and they start feeling better. They don't wake up in the morning with a headache. They don't wake up feeling groggy. They now begin the day saying, well, I could have a coffee instead of I need 3 espressos to get going. So it's really a marvelous kind of this oxygen thing. Imagine that. It's a good thing to have oxygen.
Yeah. Yeah. Who would have thought, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, you mentioned also that healthy diet is important. What exactly constitutes a balanced diet when we're talking about brain health specifically?
You know, I'll tell you that there's a lot of different things. I mean, the general good diet, avoiding a lot of sugars, avoiding a lot of highly processed foods, probably having olive oil in your diet rather than relying entirely on butter or other kinds of trans fat, certainly. Mm-hmm. But everyone, we're Americans, therefore we want to eat our way into better health. And the actual truth is, diet is not such a big thing. It's good to have a good diet, but you can't eat your way into better brain health. You can walk your way into better brain health. You can do other kinds of things which are good for you and keep you going and stimulated, interactive. You can cut out some things. Unfortunately, the stuff that you can buy over the counter doesn't work. You can't just eat a lot of green leafy vegetables until you can't eat no more. And that's not going to make a big difference in your brain health. It's good to have a good diet, but it's only one of the things.
Yeah. Okay. Now, you mentioned that when your mom first developed dementia, you would kind of write it off as, oh, that's a senior moment. And I think that's what a lot of us do for ourselves, for our parents. It's like, oh, you know, it's not a big deal. She's just getting older. He's just getting older. It's just a senior moment. How do we know when it's actually something more serious and could be dementia?
That's a great question. It is a very difficult kind of decision because there is a huge amount of overlap. First of all, people don't always think the same way every day. They've got days when they're thinking really well and days when they can't think their way out of a paper bag. There's also situations that are much more complex that you say, well, gee, maybe everyone would have problems with this. One of the things that we have done, Emily and I, is that we developed a 5-minute test called the Memory Orientation Screening Test, the MOST, which we rolled out about 15 years ago. It was then picked up by two major corporations. We distributed to a number of doctors around the country, so they could take 5 minutes out of an annual wellness visit and do a highly accurate, brief, but powerful test to say, okay, you need more follow-up. Maybe we need to get some more testing. Maybe we need to get an MRI scan. Maybe we need to go on to somebody who's a specialist in testing you outside of the office so we can really nail this down. What we're now looking at doing is adapting this the most and distributing it so that you or someone like you could give this to your mom or dad. We're going to call it the MOST for mom or dad. And that way you could do this test at home online with our prompts and a few simple materials, and then be able to plug it in, get an answer as to whether there's concern, be able to take that to the doctor and say, look, I want you to follow up because here's what happened. You could do the same test in your office to confirm this. You could send this person out. We want to get to this earlier rather than later.
Okay. What are some of the key components that are included in the MOST memory test? Is it mostly trivia or is it remembering things that you saw a few screens earlier? Or
so we do a couple components that come from other kinds of tests. There's a 3-word memory test. We say 3 words, then ask you to remember them later. We do some tests of orientation. Do you know what year it is, what month it is, what day it is, what's the date, what time of day it is? Because that's an ongoing kind of where am I, what's going on, that's relevant to thinking abilities. We also have a 12-item picture test where we show the person 12 pictures of items from around the house. Things that you could see anywhere, a couch, a lamp, those kinds of things. We ask them to name those objects so that it gets registered in their brain. We then ask them later on to tell us what those things were. So it becomes a memory test. We also have a clock drawing test. Turns out the ability to organize and draw a clock, to put the numbers in where they belong, and be able to use hands to show a specific time, calls on all kinds of problem-solving skills in the brain. Even though people have seen clocks billions of times throughout their life, it's not so much memory. It's, okay, how do I use this? Where do these things go? And that's where it really gives you a chance to see how people operate. The beauty of this test is all of these things work interactively. They create a composite score. And the composite score, which we began by testing on more than 5,000 of our patients, we ended up publishing 4 peer-reviewed articles in journals showing its accuracy, its stability over time, its ability to separate people with normal cognition from people who did not have normal cognition. And so that's what makes it valuable, is that it's scientifically based, but it's also something that's user-friendly. Anybody could do this test with some brief instruction and a couple things that they got from us, plugging it into a scoring program.
Nice. Okay, that sounds fantastic. So normally I would ask an author why they decided to write a book, but in your case and Emily's case, it's more like, what took you so long to write this book?
We've been developing tests. I see about 1,000 patients a year between myself and my staff. Emily is very involved with patient care, but also she's a forensic psychiatrist. So, you know, when they have these court cases and they call in an expert, she's sitting up there on the witness stand. So she's got some fascinating stories to tell. There's a book right there in terms of the life of a forensic psychiatrist. And you know, it started as a lark. We went to a conference in Boston at Harvard, sponsored conference on social media and book writing for medical professionals. This was 2019, in March of 2019. And we met our editor from Johns Hopkins Press, who was there recruiting people to write books. And we went up and we did our elevator pitch, our minute and a half. And we said to him, what do you think? And he said, well, if I had a contract with me, I'd have you sign it. So I responded, I've got a fax machine. Well, he was bluffing. We still had to go through a number of steps because Hopkins is a very scientifically based press. You have to jump through a variety of hoops to have your work validated by experts in the field. So we tell people, we're skipping the fads. We're not giving you just the, you know, the flavor of the day. All of the things we talk about in our book, Dementia Prevention, is based on research, and we cite the research. It's there in the last part of the book so that you don't have to read it if you don't want to. But if you want to get to that, you can go back and read about all of these different basic science findings. The difference is we translate it into terms that people really understand, because nobody, except for a couple of geeks like us, really wants to go back and read the hard science most of the time. We want someone to say to us, here's what this means. Here's how we explain it. Not dumb it down, but explain it in ways that it's understandable. Our goal is for you to come into our consulting room so we can say to you, here's what we've learned. We've put together all this information, because the truth is, there is no single field of dementia. There are no dementiologists. There's no expert specific to this. And so all the research comes from a variety of areas. There's cardiology, there's neurology, there's pulmonology, psychiatry, all the ologies that are out there, all these different medical fields. The problem is most of the people in each of those fields is only reading what's in their field. So they're not connecting the dots. That's what we are doing here. We're connecting the dots, presenting it in a way, giving people a checklist that's in the book. They can also do by using QR code. They'll take them to our website, braindoc.com. They'll be able to fill this out, download it for themselves. It becomes their roadmap. It's because the last 3 chapters are all about the important subject of how do you make change in your life? That's really hard. We give you some tips based on behavioral psychology, things that really work, things that we've used to motivate our patients to get out and make changes.
That's great. It sounds like the perfect combination of research and information that's solid and deep and covers everything, very comprehensive, and yet easy to understand, easy to use, and with a lot of digestible tips. That's exactly what people need these days.
That was our goal. So if we accomplish that, even if one person, you know, it really warms my soul. I got an email from Nan McNamara. Probably don't know her name, but she's an actor in Los Angeles. She is doing the voiceover for the book when it comes out, an audiobook. And she wrote me this email saying, you know, I really wanted to thank you. Every day when I left the studio, I had something new to tell my husband that was going to be important for us. And I called my mother and my mother-in-law up and told them things. So thank you for doing this. And that meant more to me than almost any review that I got when we sent the book out, because somebody was really using that information. So that's what I hope. And I hope that people take the time to write a review, to be able to write to us at our website and be able to say, here's what I did, or here's more questions that I have, because I think there's probably another book down the line that says answers to dementia prevention, other things that people want to know about.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I was thinking as you were talking as well. All right. So where can people go to learn more or get the book Dementia Prevention? Obviously, they can probably get it at bookstores, but where would you recommend they go?
You know, it's pretty much everywhere right now. And the full title, which you have to get to, because there are some other books that are sort of like that, but it's Dementia Prevention, Using Your Head to Save Your Brain. That's the one part of the title that nobody else has. It's on all the online places, the Amazons, the Barnes & Nobles online. It's in the iTunes store, so you can read it on a device. It's on Kindle. All the local bookstores, we're doing some book signings at some local bookstores, so it's also a great way to go and browse through other things as well.
And also, if they go to your website, there's links to buy it as well there, right?
There are. Yep. Braindoc.com.
Awesome. Okay. So once again, braindoc.com is the website, braindoc.com. And the book is called Dementia Prevention, Using Your Head to Save Your Brain, which I love the subtitle, love plays on words. It's beautiful. And as Dr. Kleonski mentioned, it's unique. So you know that's the right dementia prevention book, Dementia Prevention, Using Your Head to Save Your Brain. But check out the website, braindoc.com. Right at the top, above the fold, you'll see the book. You'll see links to buy it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or of course you can buy it at your local bookseller. But Dementia Prevention, Using Your Head to Save Your Brain is the name of the book, and braindoc.com is the website. And Dr. Kleonski, I want to thank you so much for being here, for sharing some tips with the audience, letting us know what we can do to help prevent dementia and where to get the resources that are in your book and on your website. It's a fantastic resource, and I appreciate you sharing your many years of expertise with us and for writing a book that is both comprehensive and easy to understand and fun to use. So thank you so much.
My pleasure, and thank you for having me.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 a.m, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
I'm Heather Vail with the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and this is your community events calendar for nonprofit initiatives and charity events around the Valley. Monday's Dark with Mark Chinook is a bi-monthly musical fundraising party at The Space, with each event raising $10,000 for a specific charity in 90 minutes. Upcoming shows include Monday, June 19th at 8 p.m. benefiting the Nevada Wheelchair Foundation, and Monday, July 10th at 8 p.m. benefiting the Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Nevada. Get tickets or find out more details at mondaysdark.com. That's mondaysdark.com. Junior Achievement of Southern Nevada is holding the second annual Golden Ticket Raffle with a new winner-take-all package. You can purchase your ticket for $100 through midnight on June 29th for a June 30th drawing. Items are still being added to the giant prize, and proceeds go to support Junior Achievement programs that promote financial literacy for kids. Purchase tickets or get more information at thegoldenticket.org. That's thegoldenticket.org. Flavors for Life is the Las Vegas Mini Grand Prix Charity of the Month for June. Any Tuesday in June, you can purchase the one-hour Mega Ride wristband at the 7-acre Mini Grand Prix Amusement Park and mention Flavors. That will support Flavors for Life in their mission of teaching high school students how to cook and eat healthy to help beat the obesity epidemic. The Mega Ride wristband provides 60 minutes of unlimited access to the kiddie kart track, the go-kart road course, the sprint kart speedway, the tornado twister, the super fun slide, the dive bomber airplanes, and the dragon coaster. So come out to the Las Vegas Mini Grand Prix any Tuesday during June, purchase the Mega Ride wristband, mention Flavors, and some of the proceeds will go to support Flavors for Life. You can find out more details at flavorsforlife.org. And the Las Vegas Clark County Library District's free summer challenge program is running through July 31st, with lots of prizes for kids and adults, including bookstore items, water bottles, tote bags, museum tickets, a telescope, a $100 Amazon gift card, and cool swag from the Vegas Golden Knights. Sign up to track your progress or find out more at thelibrarydistrict.org/summerchallenge. That's thelibrarydistrict.org/summerchallenge.
1 in 4 Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. I care deeply about creating a world we can all fully participate in, free from stigma, misperceptions, and barriers. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Rooted in communities nationwide, Easter Seals helps empower millions of people, regardless of age or disability, through its life-changing services and powerful advocacy. Today and every day, Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.